If Beijing sent troops to Hong Kong, it's already a symbolic gesture to the whole world that the one country, two system has come to an end.
Beijing may step in to quiet Hong Kong. It's Wednesday, October 9th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Join us as well on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, the NBA looks to dunk a China controversy. The UN combats statelessness. The business of taxes and e-cigarettes. It's all on today's VOA Asia. After a weekend of violent unrest, Hong Kong leader Carrie Lam said Tuesday she would not rule out getting help from mainland China to deal with pro-democracy protests, but that she feels strongly Hong Kong should find the solution ourselves. Lam said she would carefully assess whether to institute more measures under a colonial-era emergency law she invoked last week to criminalize wearing face masks in Hong Kong. Patsy Whitaker-Sawara has the latest from Hong Kong.
Instead of tamping down the demonstrations, the Hong Kong government's ban on face masks has triggered even more protests and violence.
We do the mask because we want to keep our identity. We could get fired, we could lose our jobs. And the people who support police can beat us up if they know who we are.
The pro-democracy protests have continued for nearly 4 months. On Tuesday, Hong Kong's embattled leader Carrie Lam said Hong Kong should find a solution internally, but would not rule out Beijing's help.
If the situation becomes so bad, then no options could be ruled out if we want Hong Kong to at least to have another chance.
Beijing's involvement would trigger an extreme escalation of what is already a heightened crisis in this former British colony, says Eric Lai, a pro-democracy activist.
If Beijing sends troops to Hong Kong, it's already a symbolic gesture to the whole world that the one country, two system has come to an end, and no one can guarantee what will happen, except there may be a Tiananmen crackdown 2.0.
Pro-Beijing legislators did not respond to VOA's request for an interview, but pro-democracy lawmaker Charles Mok accuses the government of triggering even more anger and violence to get moderates to push back against the movement.
My worry is that the government isn't really just trying to solve the problem. They're trying to create more divisiveness because obviously with more disruption, then a lot of the citizens are going to become inconvenient.
Months of turmoil have sharpened the focus on the question of what will happen to Hong Kong in 2047 when the one country, two systems arrangement expires. Hong Kong former Solicitor General Daniel Fung says dialogue is key.
One major solution, I think, is to kickstart a constitutional convention because we have plenty of time to talk about the formula, one country, two systems, how it might be improved and how it might work for the future beyond 2047.
Meanwhile, protesters are demanding that the government fulfill their demands, which include full democracy, inquiry into police action. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News, Hong Kong.
A police spokesman said Tuesday officers had arrested a total of 77 people for violating the mask ban, and Lam said it is too early to say whether the law is effective. Face masks have become common during protests in Hong Kong, even at peaceful marches, as people fear retribution from government officials or that their identities could be shared with mainland China. Many Hong Kong residents also wear face masks to protect against pollution or infection, such as the outbreak of the deadly severe acute respiratory syndrome, or SARS, that struck the city in 2003. These are among some of the top Asia stories that you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. China objects to U.S. blacklist of Chinese companies. Houston Rockets general manager's tweet controversy simmers on China. Uber of Southeast Asia to get police safety training in Vietnam. You'll find all these stories with expanded coverage and much more on Facebook at VOA Asia, as well as the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. The National Basketball Association's Houston Rockets gained popularity in China in the early 2000s when the club signed Chinese star Yao Ming. That history threatened to unravel this weekend after the team's general manager tweeted support for pro-democracy protesters in Hong Kong. The league and team are both distanced themselves from the comments. You heard the story as it developed yesterday on VOA Asia. Today, VOA's Arash Arabasadi further examines the controversy.
This practice in Japan ahead of preseason games featuring the NBA's defending champion Toronto Raptors and the Houston Rockets was supposed to be about basketball.
Yeah, we apologize. You know, we love China. We love, you know, playing there.
That apology mentioned by Rockets guard James Harden referred to a tweet Friday by the team's general manager Daryl Morey. The since-deleted post read, "Fight for freedom. Stand with Hong Kong." Since then, Morey has sent several tweets walking back his comments, but the team owner made it clear. Morey does not speak for the Houston Rockets. The NBA expressed regret that the GM's views deeply offended many Chinese. Sports channel of Chinese state television, CCTV, issued this statement on its Monday newscast.
The general manager of the NBA club Houston Rockets has made improper remarks about Hong Kong. We strongly oppose this and have decided to suspend all cooperation and exchanges involving the broadcast of the club.
The Rockets became popular in China after selecting Chinese star center Yao Ming first overall in the 2002 NBA draft. Basketball is now the top sport in China with half a billion fans. It is the NBA's largest international market.
They show us the most support and love, so you know, we appreciate them as a fan base, and we love everything you know they're about, and you know, we appreciate the support that they give us individually and as an organization. So. You know, we love you.
Now, following Morey's tweet, sportswear brands and corporate sponsors say they are suspending work with the team. At the heart of the NBA controversy are months of protests in Hong Kong against police brutality and a push for autonomy from China. The pro-democracy demonstration started in March of this year. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News, Washington.
The UN Refugee Agency warns the battle to stamp out global statelessness is being threatened by growing anti-refugee and migrant sentiment, as well as rising nationalism. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from UNHCR headquarters in Geneva.
More than 220,000 people have acquired citizenship since the UN Refugee Agency launched a 10-year global campaign in 2014 to end statelessness. Now, at the midpoint of the campaign, activists welcome the progress that has been made, but note so much more remains to be done. They report at least 4 million people still live without a legal identity, without legal documents to prove who they are. Australian actor and UNHCR Goodwill Ambassador Kate Blanchett says statelessness has a devastating impact on their lives. She says they experience marginalization and exclusion from cradle to grave.
And those of us who have a nationality and have a paper identity, it's often very hard for us to imagine, because we take this for granted, just like breathing, it's hard for us to imagine the degree of invisibility and despair often that stateless people experience.
She says stateless people do not belong anywhere. They are denied an education and medical care. They cannot open a bank account or travel. They cannot get married or even get a death certificate.
It's total invisibility. And the desperate and horrific gift that they often give to their children is that their children too become stateless. So it's a generational problem.
The UNHCR says solutions are urgently needed for millions without citizenship or at risk of becoming stateless around the world. The scale of the problem is particularly overwhelming for the more than 1 million Rohingya refugees in Bangladesh and millions more still living in Myanmar. A recent government decree has put minority populations in India's Assam state at risk of becoming stateless if they cannot prove their citizenship. This, though they have lived in the region for generations. On a better note, the hashtag #IBelong campaign has brought global awareness to the issue and racked up some successes. For example, Madagascar and Sierra Leone have reformed their nationality laws. They now allow mothers as well as fathers to confer citizenship on their children. However, 25 countries continue to make it impossible for mothers to confer this right on their children. This remains one of the leading causes of statelessness globally. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Coming up, paying more, smoking less. You're listening to VOA Asia. This news from VOA Asia, authorities in Indian-controlled Kashmir will allow tourists back into the region 2 months after ordering them to leave because of security concerns. Tourists, however, are not likely to experience normal life in the disputed region or be able to use mobile internet or cell phones, which remain cut. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for much more. This is VOA Asia. As we continue with VOA Asia, Japan's new sales tax and a smoking alternative for China are the topics on today's VOA Asia Business Scene with Ira Melman.
Japan raised its national sales tax to 10% from 8% during concerns the increase could derail tenuous economic growth over the past several years. Prime Minister Shinzo Abe postponed this hike twice, but said it was unavoidable. Japanese Finance Minister Taro Aso welcomed the news and said the government has taken ample measures to offset the tax hike's impact. So far, there has been no talk of last-minute shopping like the previous tax hike. At least if there is no such rush, there would be little reactionary decline, but we must pay attention to economic management and make every effort. The increase covers most goods and services, from clothes, electronics, to transportation and medical fees, but the government has sought to soften its impact with tax breaks for home and car purchases. It's also kept the tax for groceries unchanged for low-income households and is providing free preschool education to families. However, Toshihiro Nagahama, chief economist at Daiichi Life Research Institute, said the timing for this tax hike is bad, considering the current economic situation of Japan. Even though the government is taking consumption-leveling steps and adding more social security measures, I think chances are high for Japan's economy to return to deflation following the consumption tax increase. U.S. e-cigarette maker Juul Labs has entered China on e-commerce sites owned by Alibaba Group and JD.com to tap the world's largest market of smokers. Juul has been launching its products in international markets such as South Korea, Indonesia, the Philippines, and recently it raised over $750 million in expanded funding. Two major Chinese online retailers, JD.com and Tmall, published a notice that Juul's official virtual store had opened on September 9th. China, which is the world's largest single market for tobacco consumption with over 300 million smokers, represents a market with both opportunity and risk for the company. China's government has perennially launched anti-smoking campaigns in an effort to improve public health. Earlier this year, it released a draft document suggesting that China's laws regulating e-cigarettes will eventually largely resemble those in Europe. China's tobacco industry, meanwhile, is tightly controlled by the government-run monopoly China Tobacco, which maintains complete oversight on the sale, production, and distribution of tobacco products. Beijing relies on tobacco sales for a sizable percentage of China's overall tax revenue. For VOA's Business Scene, I'm Ira Melman.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. You'll find us online at iTunes and SoundCloud. We're also now on some new places for us anyway, YouTube and VOA Asia Twitter. We invite you to check us out on those social media platforms. You can also hear us on the radio. Chiang Mai University, Radio FM 100 at Chiang Mai University in Thailand carries our program. Good morning and hello to everyone who is listening today there. We also like to thank our director, Tracy Carter, engineer, Cedric Franklin, our managing editor, Diane Gao, our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Keith Lane, and our interns, Hyung and Afra. I'm Jim Stevenson. Have a great day.